happened again. So runs the commentary on the events in the Baltimore's riots, mayhem, destruction, become transformed now into celebration, where the charges have been set, guilty as charged, the featured mood of the black community. All is forgiven those who set fire to stores, destroyed a $14 million Baptist housing development for seniors, sent 15 of the now disgraced Baltimore police to the hospital. And according to the mayor, let him protest and destroy his only goods. The 21st century theme song seems to be, I'll do it my way. It's midnight. All is bleak. Such would have been the message of a town crier in Detroit last June for those within the evangelical view of the Presbyterian Church. Same-sex marriage is now endorsed by the PCUSA, provoking either joy or despair. David Brooks in The Road to Character notes, today the word sin has lost its power, its awesome intensity. Evil today is discussed as errors in the structures of society, inequality, oppression, racism, sexism, but not in the human breast. But sin is one of those words that it's impossible to do without. Sin is a necessary piece of our mental furniture because it reminds us that life is a moral drama. And when culture tries to replace sin with ideas, error, insensitivity, banish words like virtue, character, evil, it makes us increasingly blind to the moral stakes in life. When I was serving the Mission Viejo Church in California, we finally balanced the budget, one of my jobs as an interim pastor. And the chairman of the finance committee gave me a shirt at the congregational meeting, and it read, what part of no don't you understand? I haven't changed my mind since then. What is the moral atmosphere in America? Many of us in the church find ourselves defending what Max Lucado calls salmon scriptures. They run against the moral tide of what others describe as living in a zero morality culture. Now, the environment of zero morality, like the one of zero gravity, has nothing to depend upon, nothing to hold on to. Akin to that astronaut in outer space on a spacewalk. If his tether breaks, nothing to hold on to. Adrift. And in such a culture, it means that there's nothing to hold you back from the abyss of despair and meaninglessness. So we find ourselves today caught up in the drift of moral weightlessness aboard spaceship Earth. To wit, with the current popularity of the iPhone, online dating has become so last century. One application is called Grindr. It provides a group, and by neighborhood, you can find out who wants sex. More than 700,000 men in 162 countries are now using GPS and the internet for sex. While monogamy faces texting, that means cheating via text, and nexting, meaning hooking up with strangers. The Center for Disease Control latest survey of teens between 15 and 19 shows a big change in the attitude about premarital sex. 42% have already had sex. Out of wedlock pregnancy approval rose from 50 to 64%. And 24.5% of the girls thought it would be great to have a baby. There seems to be this strong aversion in our culture to tell youth that sex outside of marriage is wrong. In fact, the University of Chicago study that was just released indicates that premarital sex is only 20% wholly morally wrong. Same-gender sex is 40% morally wrong. And the only strong category is extramarital sex. That's 80% morally wrong. So therapist Laura Berman assures us the future of sex in America will get better. There'll be life after, because there'll be robots that whisper in your ears and fulfill your sexual desires. Isn't that a picture? We've moved from be responsible to be safe. Give them the facts, they'll do the right thing. In this oversexed culture, culture that depicts celebrities as successful single parents, all we have is sound scripture. Jesus said, Paul said, the Bible says, obviously under attack. Moral weightlessness can be found today in the brutality of gang initiation tests. Potential members must prove themselves by murdering a rival gang member. In fixing the books of banks so the debts aren't shown. The Ponzi scheme for Madoff, it's all for the federal agents who have been swindled out of millions of dollars. The abuses of power amongst politicians, from Main Street to city offices, state and national capitals. Our mission as a Church of Jesus Christ is not simply to sit on the sidelines bemoaning the thinning of the moral air, or to watch our brothers and sisters drift into the weightlessness of culture. We're called upon to call to show this world that in Jesus Christ there is a perfect gravitational field for the human spirit. God-breathed, Christ-centered, Spirit-driven. We find an unmistakable pull of gravity of grace in the great hymn that Paul sings for us in the letter to the Ephesians. It says, fellow citizens, in Christ, God will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all the nations. He will swallow up death forever, and those who were hopeless now have hope. Christ is our peace. Through faith in Christ, we become new persons altogether, to experience the wonder, the joy, the thrill of living God's good pleasure. You see, the good news, my friends, is that we have been destined by God for adoption as his children, according to his will. The greatest lie perpetuated by those who are espousing this life of zero morality is that they are free. Freedom isn't the ability to do anything you want to do. Freedom is not some, if it feels good, do it, pleasure principle. In fact, does the freedom to lie, cheat, bring joy? Does the freedom to never establish a commitment and a loving relationship bring joy? Does the freedom to drink, drug, or gamble yourself out of your mind bring joy? Not in my view. Jonathan Rauch noted, we can all agree on five indispensable future building values. Lawfulness, education, thrift, diligence, strong family ties. And he calls that a constructive ethic. But after he reviews the state of those five values today, he concludes, the sorry truth is that we can't know what causes this widespread erosion in the moral base. But it's becoming clear that the answers must lie in the community sector, households, churches, which stresses that with rights come responsibility. Friends, we know what causes the erosion of human values, human sinfulness, and we know the answer, and it lies within a movement called the Church of Jesus Christ. Today, across planet Earth, people ask, who is this Jesus Christ? Current diversity questions inevitably confront him, but the answer has to come from we Christians, whose symbol is the cross. For the cross says, the sovereign Lord, creator, sustainer, redeemer of this universe, will wipe every tear from all faces, will remove the disgrace of the people from all the earth. As Christians, we move into this world that doubts Christ's ability to redeem and restore. And in the midst of that world, we endure the agony of loneliness, a cosmic loneliness, personal loneliness, where anxiety, fear, and guilt surround living, where hopelessness and meaninglessness are pervasive. The cross calls us to be Christ followers. What this zero-based morality culture does not understand is that a biblically based morality is an ultimate pleasure principle. What's based on men and women and youth and children living life as God intended it to be lived. In praise of God's glory, in joy. Despite the thinning atmosphere of age, remember a time when youth awaited the dawn of Aquarius. Some of you may remember. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abound, with no more falsehood or derisions, golden dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelations, and the mind's true liberation. Friends, the dawn of Aquarius was over 2,000 years ago. Peace will guide the planets, love will steer the stars, but all of God's people confess, not I, but Christ in me. It is the only hope of spaceship Earth. And it will only be when this world sees us living love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, humility, self-control, the gifts of the Spirit. Now, how do we get that? Right here. Right now. Come unto me. All you who are overburdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Follow thou me. For as long as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. And he will come. Let it be, Lord. Let it be.